I'm going to go back into something today, and I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. It says, "We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." You know, those 40 days and 40 nights that he spent were no picnic. In fact, the angels had to come and minister to him after 40 days because of the level of temptation, testing, and trial, the fury by which the enemy brought against him. Every imaginable test, temptation, trial, with a fury that we don't always understand because God gave him over to that. That's why he can say, "Lead us not into temptation," because he bore every one of our temptations for us. And we have a right to be led around a lot of things because he stood in the seat of our temptation. And as an innocent lamb, all of that was put upon him for 40 days and nights straight without probably even a break. Everything you could imagine. And the enemy put that upon him, but he was without sin. Amen. And he didn't give in to it. He didn't give in to that pressure. He didn't fall to it. And he did that as a sacrifice for you and I that we can pray, "Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us." So the many things God will lead us around. Sometimes we stumble into things. It's just part of life. Sometimes things in our past that hadn't been fully dealt with or fully healed, they can rise against you. But there's a lot of things, if we walk close to the Lord, that he'll lead you away from. Amen. Isn't that good news? There's a lot of things that you could have fell by, but the Lord led you right around it. Amen. Led you right around the destructive relationship. Led you right around. Sometimes we just get caught in the middle of it, but sometimes we're led around it. Amen. If you listen to the Lord and you have confidence in people around you that can see that you allow to speak in your life, you can be led around things because people around you can see things, but you got to be able to trust people. Amen. You can't just trust everybody and everyone. You can't do that. But there are people you can trust, and you got to trust when they speak, because sometimes God will speak through them too. Amen. And God will lead you around things. Lead us not in temptation, testing. This is the word for somebody. We have to listen and take heed. Just remember, none of us are all that. Amen. We're all that with the Lord. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All things. But in yourself, you have vulnerabilities. And you can't always see, no matter how spiritual you are, you can't always see what the enemy's going to do. Sometimes you'll get blindsided. Sometimes it's going to happen, but then God's grace is there because he can touch when you do get blindsided. He can be touched with the feelings of your infirmity. Amen. He can be touched. He understands what you're going through. He was tempted in all points. So never go to the Lord and say, "God, you don't understand." He does understand. He walked in your shoes. He was allowed to be given over sacrificially for you. He was allowed to be given over in your place sacrificially to be touched with what it is you're going through. That's why he has compassion. That's why he's our mediator. He's our intercessor. He's our go-between before the Father, because he did walk in our shoes. He did go through what you're going through. He was tempted with a fury that probably very few of us even ever have understood. The devil was allowed to unleash everything that he had upon him. He eventually bore everything up on the cross. But he was tempted, and he did not succumb to it. So, Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. Deliver us from being blindsided. Lead us around destruction. Father, lead us around you. Delivereth us from destruction. At destruction and famine, we can laugh, Father, because we go around it. We go around destructive relationships and people. Father, we go right around it. Lead us right around it, Father. Give us eyes to see. Father, give us a heart to understand and see. Help us. Sometimes you don't know. This is the enemy. He's been around a long time. It doesn't take much for him to understand. He knows. He knows what pushes your buttons. He orchestrates things on your behalf. But God's also given us the Holy Ghost. He's given us the mighty Holy Spirit. If we stay close to the Lord, He'll give us the light that we need. Amen. He'll give us the love that we need. He'll give us the discernment we need. He'll put the right people around you that love you. He'll put people around you. If you feel all alone, then you pray God will put people around you. You pray God will put people that have your best interest that'll hold you up. You might have been broken and rejected and betrayed, and you don't know how to let people around you. But God will put people around you that love you. You're not alone. The Spirit of the Lord is telling me to tell you, you are not alone. That God will put people around you. Let Him do it. Don't you be putting people around you. Let God do that. He knows how to put the right people around your life. He knows how to put somebody next to you that loves you, that'll hold your arms. He knew how to do it, Moses. Even Moses needed his arms lifted. Do you understand me? The man of God, they're not perfect. Sometimes they need their arms lifted. He knows how to put people around you that'll do that for you. Let them do that. You're not alone. Everyone say, I'm not alone. If you feel alone, I know there are people in here that feel alone. I know that you feel you're all alone. Sometimes you need to let people in. Amen. You got to let people in that love you. And you got to know they love you. Because you don't have to walk out all of these battles alone. God didn't call us to do that. I did that for many years. But I'm learning. Amen. We have the Holy Ghost. We have the Lord Jesus. We have the Father. And we have friends that stick closer than a brother. We have people that love us. I know I'm talking to somebody in here. Let people love you. Sometimes it's hard. You know, the ministers, they're the worst at it because they get burned. They get burned hard. And when they get burned, they don't like to let anybody in. They close the doors. That's what I want to talk to you about today for the rest of the service is trespasses. Again, I got to get back into this. Hallelujah. Now, we talked about this on Wednesday night. I shared a little bit about this. So I'm going to pick up from there. I'm going to exhort some things, and I'm going to jump into another level of trespasses. But if you go to Matthew 6, this is the Lord's Prayer. We got into Mark 11. Again, he says, when you pray, Mark 11, he gives both the same times, he gives the same instruction about prayer and dealing with trespasses. Trespasses, if you want a definition, is compartmentalized offense, compartmentalized unforgiveness, compartmentalized pain, compartmentalized betrayal. Now, somebody will do you wrong, like, you know, it might be minor. You can forgive them and you'll let that go. But I talked about this Wednesday night. When someone takes 10 years from your life, you just don't let that go like that. You'll sit there. How many of you have ever tried to forgive somebody? I mean, just ramrodded you, blindsided you, betrayed you. Anybody ever been betrayed? Raise your hand. We live in a world that that's just going to happen. And what happens is God asks you to forgive. Now, so there are a few select people that get so bitter, they'll never forgive. But for the most part, people's hearts are large, especially to serve God. They want to forgive. They want to serve God. And so they forgive with all that they have in them. Sometimes you'll write a letter to somebody. Sometimes you'll call them. But it's still there even after you've done that thing. How many of you have ever done that? I mean, someone did that thing and you wrote them a letter. Or you called them. Or you went through so though, but something's still there. When you think about it, it's still there. Sometimes, this is what I want to get into today, the soul is a very unique operation. God designed this because He knew you were going to live in a world with tribulation. He designed your soul to compartmentalize pain. When you go through situations, your soul has the power and the capacity by God's design to compartmentalize situations, pain, anger, emotion. You'll compartmentalize. When you get seriously hurt, you can compartmentalize, but at the same time, it shuts down things in you. But your soul, because it's compartmentalized, there's only so many compartments that you can compartmentalize into. And what happens when you have compartmentalized so many things and compressed so many things, you become a volcano. But you don't go there because you keep pushing and pushing, because we can push things to the right, we can push it left, you can push it down. Some people extrovert, some people introvert. Some people deal with it extrovert. They create a personality that can handle life. They walk around with a big smile on their face and they are hurting greater than anybody in the place. But nobody knows that because they have created a personality to deal with that. Because somebody told them from the beginning, you gotta be perfect. That was the original lie. Came in from Adam. You eat from the tree of knowledge of good, you'll be like God. And man found like they weren't like God. First thing they did, went and hide. Cover, hide. That's what we do with situations. We hide from, but when you start compartmentalizing things, you have no idea how much your soul can compress life. There is a compression agency within your soul that will compress situations. It will compress circumstances. That's why somebody walking around angry all the time, they got a lot of compression. And they are just like a volcano. Boom, something sets it off. Sometimes it gets so seated there. Now, this is what people don't understand about deliverance. When it comes to deliverance, a Christian cannot be fully possessed by way of definition, spirit, soul, and body. Cannot happen, because your spirit is off limits to the enemy. He cannot. Now, before, he could possess you spirit, soul, and body because he owned it. But when you're born again, that Holy of Holies is off limits. You cannot have a devil possess your human spirit, because it's born in the image of God. That's where the Holy Spirit lives. The law of the Spirit of life is there. He cannot come and possess that part of you. Listen, spirits like to inhabit bodies. And they can also compress into the soul. Many times, if you've gone through something in life, especially before you were born again, when you were born again, you're not born equal in this life. Some people are born privileged. Just privileged. Born into a beautiful family, loved all the way up, nurtured, have everybody in the family looking out after them. And you're feeling that love. You feel that nurture when you grow up. And some people are born in dysfunctionalism from day one. Everything's dysfunctional, always dysfunctional. You're looking for love in all the wrong places because you didn't get any. You ain't got it. Because of that, it just causes a dysfunctionalism in you, because there wasn't a healthy upbringing. Your soul grows up dysfunctional. Some people's soul grows up very healthy because they were given those things. You should appreciate. That's why the enemy's so after the family unit. He always wants to bring destruction, because he likes to get that dysfunctionalism going in early. Because it's hard to get dysfunctionalism out when it's seated in. The deeper it's seated, the more difficult it is to get out. You just don't wake up one day, just get over it, because there is stuff there. And because of what happens when you grow up, you compress. You compartmentalize over and over and over. There's some rooms in there. Sometimes when things have happened at a severe level, what will happen when your soul starts compartmentalizing and compressing, the spirit will get compressed in there too. And it'll live in a hidden place within your soul. I know that's good news. The good news is God has remedies for this, amen? But God's not going to open you up all at one time. He don't do that. Nobody got born again, got fully delivered spirit, soul, and body. You get a freedom like you never felt, and some things you got to work out. When I was born again, God instantly delivered me from things. Since the family day, I'll just leave the things. He instantly delivered me out. So when you compartmentalize and compress, some things get locked up in there. Now, some things when you get born again, you're instantly delivered. How many of you got that? It's instantly. And other things, you got to walk out. How many of you ever got to walk out something? You got to overcome something. I mean, God gave it all to you. You got to overcome. It's part of growing in God. You grow up and overcome. Amen. And part of that overcoming is there going to be times God's going to tap open one of those compartmentalized rooms. Sometimes he'll open them in layers depending how deep they're compartmentalized. Sometimes you don't even know what's there. Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel? under bed? No, it's brought to be set right up on a lampstand to give light to the house. And there's nothing hid that shall not be uncovered. That keeps you from walking a 30, 60, 100 fold walk with God. That His Word is not going to shine a light on it. His Word's going to open those areas because that's where your authority is going to come from when God truly delivers the foundations. The Christ being rooted and grounded into the very depths. All I was talking about, I forgive you from the bottom of my heart. You ever thought about that? The bottom. You know why they say bottom of my heart? Because that's where everything lives. You forgive somebody from the bottom of your heart, you've forgiven them. Because there's stuff, sometimes I forgive you from right here. That's it. I forgive you as far as right here. We'll get 1 foot between me and you. Sometimes it's 10 foot. Ever walk around somebody and they got steel around them? I mean, you ever hug somebody and they are just cold as ice? You feel that because your spirit, you know why they're cold? Because they may be strong sometime, but they're cold. The reason they do that is because they built so many walls because they're living inside of a compressed pain. And that is a trespass. That's what a trespass is. That's what a trespass is. And no ministers are going to be with the Lord because they don't deal with the trespasses. If you don't have the ability, I want to teach you how to be effective in dealing with trespasses because they're coming. Jesus said it's offenses will come, but it's what you do with what gets thrown at your life. Amen? 2 Chronicles 29. This is a great little teaching right here. Verse 1. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old. 25 years old, he took over a kingdom. God gives the kingdom to men at different times, depending on how much he's got to work out of them. Amen. Verse 3, he in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Now, I want to teach you here about this chapter in the light of not that temple, but your temple. You are the temple of the living God. Amen. There's going to be times, and I want to talk about the temple of your soul today in particularly, because Hezekiah had to open some doors that were shut down, and he had to repair them. And he was repairing the product of a former king or a former generation, King Ahaz, a wicked, wicked man. He was in the actually previous chapter to this one. We'll look at him a little bit in a minute. He did some pretty evil things, especially into the temple. And it shut down the temple. So he said, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them and brought them in, the priests and the Levites, and gathered them together into the east street. Now, you have to understand, the temple was facing east, so he brought them right into the east street. That was the door of the temple. He got all the Levites together and got them where they're going, hey, we're going to open these doors now. Sometimes your doors are shut when they need to be opened. People who walk around closed off, shut down. Sometimes you've got compartmentalized doors that are shut that are going to get open and repaired. God's going to address them. He's going to put the spirit of Hezekiah upon you, and he's going to address those closed doors. Got to do it. To go from glory to glory, got to do it. Verse 5, he said to them, hear me, you Levites. Sanctify yourselves, sanctify the house of the Lord your God, your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place, for our fathers have trespassed. There was a trespass in the temple. There was a trespass in the tabernacle. There was a trespass. God was not going to leave it like that. He had to restore righteousness. He had to restore the glory of God, and the temple doors were shut because a trespass had shut it down. Listen, a trespass will surely shut things down. They'll shut down the glory. They'll shut down the living waters. They'll shut down the promises. I don't want to be shut down. That's the enemy's design. He wants to shut you down. He brings mean people. He doesn't play fairly. He brings wicked situations. He brings nice people and puts a spirit on them. Amen. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord, and have forsaken Him, and have turned away their face from the habitation of the Lord. See, this trespass, these doors were opened because of trespass. Look at the result of a trespass. Look at verse 8. When the doors get shut, look what happens. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon the Judah and Jerusalem, and He delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, to hissing, to see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, our sons, daughters. Now, all that was old. We're in the new. What happens as a result of trespasses is trouble. Sometimes trouble get up around you and you have no defense for it. How many of you ever have the shield of God around you and trouble come up around you and it's like shoe fly? I mean, big trouble. Something all bam. Someone had taken you out 10 years ago. I mean, it was just a light affliction. You had a shield around you. When there's a trespass, you don't have that kind of shield. So when things come at you, you don't have that same kind of shield. And what it does, it takes you where you are and it takes you to a deeper level. That's what happens when trespasses are allowed to remain. Amen? Sometime you got to go into the inner sanctuary to get it cleaned out. Amen? So watch what Hezekiah does. Verse 10. Chapter 29, he says, now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord. Verse 11, my sons, be not negligent, for the Lord have chosen you to stand before Him and serve Him, that you should minister to Him. In verse 15, and they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. I mean, he was on it. When it was time to open those tabernacle doors, Hezekiah said, get in there and cleanse the temple. That's the Holy Ghost being commissioned to get in there and cleanse the tabernacle. That's not always going to be fun. But God will give you things when He does that. He'll put grace upon you because you're going to need it sometime. Because when He opens the volcano, it has the capacity to explode. There's stuff locked up in the tabernacle of the soul. Anybody listen to me today? Verse 16, watch this. And the priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it. And the priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord and brought out all the uncleanness they found in the temple. There's stuff sometimes that got to go in there. Now look, you don't go in there and just start finding something wrong with you. Don't go do that. Don't go looking for trouble. Sufficient is the evil of the day. Don't go looking for more of it. Don't go, oh, I'm going to find out what's wrong with me. Look, what's wrong will manifest eventually. You don't go and start looking at your stuff. Amen? Don't go looking at your stuff. Look at God. Behold His glory. Behold Him as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, and you're changed from glory to glory. I don't go looking at my faults. If you do that, you're just going to be fault all the time. It'd be negative. No. You look at the glory of God. You keep your eyes fixed on Him from glory to glory. But what, there are going to be times when His light is going to get released in your life. And it's at that time when He puts the light on it, you got to take a look at it. Because there's going to be a level of repentance. It's not common. It's more than just, oh, Father, I repent. He opens it up and said, oh, I can't believe that's there. There's serious, godly repentance orchestrated by the Holy Ghost that's going to clean the house. It's that cleansing of the tabernacle that's going to set you free and move you to the next level. God knows when it's time to go up. But just know, when you get a word, when you got a feeling that breakthrough is coming, you know you're about to go up on a mountain and go higher. When it comes time to go higher, God might open up something right before you go higher. Then you go lower. I thought I was going up. I'm going down. Because he's opening a door. What am I looking at? Where did this stuff come from? I was on the mountain last week. I was singing a happy song. I was dancing around the congregation. I was hallelujah. My soul was in the height of heaven. What am I looking at today? I mean, just one night, he opens the thing up. I'm like, what happened? I thought we were ready to go into the promised land. He said, yeah, we are, but I got to get this out. I got to park you for a minute. I was like, no. Ah. Volcano starts erupting five times a day. Sometime those waters that have been compressed, if they're deep enough, highly contaminated. You will feel things. I'm just being real with you. I read this in a book somewhere. Sometimes you don't know what I'm talking about, but it's there whether you know what I'm talking about or not. Sometimes it never happened because you ain't let God open those areas. You ain't got close enough to him yet to let him have that. The price to walk with God is he will not relent until he has it all. They have a song. You won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours. He'll be relentless. If you're a relentless seeker of the Most High God, if you're relentless in your pursuit and relentless in your hunger and relentless and nothing or nobody's going to stand in the way, then he will open those doors. He's going to cleanse your temple and get it ready to be filled with some glory. I can tell you, you better get ready to have your hands on the horns of the altar. When he opens something like that, you are not going to like what you see. You are not going to like what you feel. But no, that is not you. And that thing is getting open to get buried forever in a baptism that's not going to rise again. He's going to make an utter end of the affliction and it will not rise again. You want a chapter? Go to the book of Nahum chapter 1. Talks about a fortified city. Though you be hidden, secluded, likewise many, yet ye shall you be cut down when God passeth through. These things like to hide. There's going to be a tide. God's going to pass his train of glory through your soul. When he does, they might be hidden and secluded and likewise many. But he's going to make an utter end to the affliction. He's going to open it up. Bam! He's going to thoroughly cleanse his threshing floor. You get the picture. I love the glory. But there's a price. I love the breakthrough. I'm ready for the promised land. But sometimes there's a price. Because he knows if you don't get this stuff, sometimes you don't even know it's there. That's why it says nothing hidden. You don't know it's there. It's all right. Keep your eyes on the glory. Amen. Go over to the previous chapter. Go back to Ahaz because the trespass came from the former chapter, the former king, chapter 28. Ahaz, he was 26 years old, verse 1, when he began to reign. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. He was a wicked king. He stained and contaminated the temple. Look at verse 3. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Verse 19, for the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz. And he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. Look at this, verse 21. And Ahaz took away a portion of the house of the Lord and out of the house of the king and out of the princes and gave it to the king of Syria. He bargained with worldly kings. He gave away the house of the Lord. Keep himself from trouble, but it didn't profit him. His wickedness increased. It went from one level to another. At the time of his distress, did he trespass yet more against the Lord? For he sanctified unto the gods of Damascus, which smote him. And he said, because the gods of the kings of Syria helped me, therefore I'll sacrifice to them. He's standing as a king in the seat of God, sacrificing to foreign gods. Because they helped me, I'll sacrifice to them. Now notice what he did here. This is what he did. This was a trespass. And Ahaz, verse 24, gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God. Cut them in pieces. That's the soul right there. Just gets cut in pieces. Notice what it says. And he shut the doors of the house of the Lord and made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. Cut in pieces of the vessels of the Lord, created a trespass in the temple, and then shut the doors. And that's what God had called Hezekiah to open back up. So that's what happens in the temple of the soul. Things get cut in pieces and the doors get shut like bars of iron. You're open in one area, but very closed in another. Ever met somebody like that? It's wide open in one area, and another area they're closed off. You know why? Off limits. You ever met somebody that says off limits? Some people, their whole life is off limits. You ever got close to somebody, real close to them, all of a sudden, bam, the wall comes up. They were right nice and friendly. Wow. Chuck, stand up here. When we're this far apart, man, how you doing? Love you. Love you. They got their hat on. Love you. They got their personality on, their church personality. When they get closer, love you. How you doing? Good. How you doing? The closer you get, and all of a sudden, man, we buds. And then all of a sudden, right here, boom. All of a sudden, where did that come from? You just met the inner sanctuary of their soul, and you got too close. And when you get too close to somebody, the self-protection mechanism, the temple doors are closed. Don't go no further. I don't want you up in there. You don't want to be up in there. Ain't none of us want you anywhere near that room. Now, back up, Jack. And so we live our life out there like that. We got everybody just where we want them. Amen? We got everybody at the level and the place we want them. Now, listen. Preachers, not me, but other preachers, they're notorious for that. They're the ones that got to get up in front of everybody all the time. So when something happens to them, they shut off. That's how you know you won't ever see them unless they walk in the pulpit. They're escorted by armed guards. They walk around like that. They're looking around. They got secret service around them, you know, running interference for everybody. Some little sheeple comes, just a real innocent sheeple. Sheeple's a sheep. Just any sheep comes up, just wants a handshake. Man, they will run. Bam! Get off of that man of God. Don't you know you take his anointing from you? You won't take his anointing. That's my anointing. Of course, it was given for the sheeple, but it's mine. They start developing that kind of stuff. Well, sometimes there needs to be interference because people don't understand the anointing. But that stuff can get way out there. Generally, that man that's walking out there with his chest sticking out, he's got his bodyguards. He is one hurting dude. He's got deep, deep trespasses. He's never let them free, and he don't want anybody around him unless the ones he feels comfortable, because he don't know how to deal anymore with life. All he knows how to do is get right here. The anointing will come on him, and that anointing will make him Superman in front of everybody, and he goes right back to who he is, and they will live isolated. That happens a lot. Not just to ministers. It happens to everybody. Leaders, we don't learn to deal with our trespasses and have some level of transparency in our life. So a lot of preachers will never tell you anything's going on with them. They got to be perfect in your eyes. We don't have some kind of transparency like that. Where we open and we're not afraid anymore. We're willing to let these walls down. To let the Holy Ghost get into these rooms. Again, don't go searching out something. You can't find rooms like this on your own anyway. They'll find you. But there'll be a time, especially when it's promotion time. Big promotion. Huge promotion. Promised land promotion. where you're about to have the gates of God open for you in a way they've never been open, that he might go down into one of these rooms and open those gates too. And when he does, you got to let him do that, because he's going to be the author of it. If he's authoring it, when he cleanses that threshing floor, he's going to open those temple doors again. He's going to repair the doors. He's going to repair what was broken. Even if it was done by a former generation. That's mostly what happens, is done by a former generation. Sometimes that stuff go all the way down. You ever think about, sometimes you're just thinking about something and you can think about something all the way down. Sometimes you got a good memory to 5, 7 years old. I mean, you think about, your mind and soul can process information for a lifetime and compartmentalize that information. That's why you can, your memory bank can remember. Sometime when these things happen to a level, you completely shut off. They so compartmentalize, your soul blanks you out. And you get a dissociative identity disorder. There's actually another identity there, because it's the only way you could deal with life. Your soul has the capacity to process everything that ever's happened to you. And sometime if it's too intense, it'll just shut down and create a whole nother personality to deal with that. It won't ever go into that room. We see that sometimes in sozo, a lot of times. An identity disorder, associative identity disorder, two personalities working. I'll close with this. Somebody, and all of a sudden a whole nother personality showed up and say, who is that? Where did he or she come from? You just met number two. Somebody can get intense in there. It's hard to find out who you are when you're like that. God can repair all that. Now, here's what I believe, and I'll close with this. He's going to release an anointing, an apostolic anointing that's going to clear the house out. Sometime he'll have to have people walk through that to get an anointing like that on them. When he does that anointing, I mean from young to old, it's going to go whoosh and cleanse the house. I mean just cleanse the house. Amen. I believe God's people are going to be freer in this generation than any other generation. No matter what the enemy's thrown, God's got an answer for every generation and every evil that's been thrown against man. Amen. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord.